Amen. Well, welcome tonight to our Lesson in the Make New series. I'm so glad that you could join us here tonight. If we would love it if you could just leave a comment in the comment section just to let us know that you're joining us. We love to see who is joining on our online church, and we're just thankful that you're here. Praise God. Well, we're going to be diving straight into the Word, and we're going to sort of wrap up this Make New series, and we're going to be ending in the book of Acts tonight. And so I encourage you right now just to open to the book of Acts in chapter 9. That's where we're going to spend most of our time tonight. But basically, we're just going to wrap up Make New, and we're going to talk about Saul's conversion to Paul. And this is an incredible testimony of what God can do in an individual's life. But before we do that, let us just open up in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful time that we can have together, Lord, where we can open up your word and discover the things that you have for us, Jesus. We just pray tonight that you would give us revelation in your word and the desire and the will that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. We just pray that you would challenge us and be with us tonight as we open up this word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we're going to start in Book of Acts chapter 9. And just bear with us, we do have quite a few verses to get through, but we'll break them up as we go through the lesson. We're going to start in Acts 9, starting from verses 1, and we're going to go right through to verses 15. Amen. Let's read. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters for him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to prick against the goads. And so, trembled and astonished, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And now there was a certain disciple named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him, that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much harm he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Wow, it's an incredible story. And let's break this down. But let's start with a question. Have you ever tried to get a new major routine in your life? And typically we try to do these at the start of the year. Whether it's a healthy habit, maybe you want to wake up earlier, maybe you want to eat healthier, maybe you want to save or invest more money. But do these things just happen? No. Usually it's around the 2 to 3 week mark of January when all of those good habits and good intentions of keeping those habits quickly fades away. Maybe you were disciplined for one day. Maybe you were disciplined for 1 week. Maybe you were really good and you were disciplined for 1 month. Or was it 1 year? Or has now that become simply a good habit that is now part of your life? That is what ultimately we want to aim for. You see, no good thing just comes from desire alone, but it comes from the attitude of wanting to be disciplined, to be able to do those healthy things. It's one thing to desire to do those healthy habits. It's another to be disciplined and actually doing them. And through discipline, that is when our life can be changed. So let's look at the life of Saul, who was converted to Paul. He was a Pharisee. We know him as a very zealous, religious, passionate man, and he knew everything about the Jewish law. He would in fact travel miles and miles just to find these so-called cult of the way, which would be the followers of Jesus, because this was this new age religion that was quickly rising. And he would go, he would travel, and he would persecute them, this group called the Way. What they believed in was this, that Jesus was in fact the Messiah that they had been looking for. Jesus was crucified on the cross, but he rose again, and his spirit empowered them to spread this gospel. And that's why we read that this cult, this so-called religious group of the Way, was so concerning. It wasn't just damaging for the what Paul believed in Judaism, but it was deadly because it was spreading, and it was spreading fast. And Paul, being the zealous man that he was, he couldn't let this happen. As I mentioned, he traveled far and wide. And here we find himself, as we read, he has received the papers to head towards Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, something happened that he would never have thought would happen. All of a sudden, he has been blinded by a bright light. He was so struck that he fell off his horse, and a voice spoke, and scripture says he recognized the voice, and that voice announced himself as Jesus. Let's read verses 3 to 6 again. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then he responds, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And so he was trembling, he was astonished, and he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And so here in this very moment, we have the Saul, the character that was about to go and persecute the Christians, but now he has been, we find him in the road of Damascus being questioned, "Why are you being the one that's persecuting me?" Saul was this very religious man, but now everything that he knew has changed. Everything that he aspired to be has changed on the road of Damascus. "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Can you imagine how that would have felt? He wasn't just persecuting these individuals, but he was persecuting Jesus. And Jesus has posed the very question to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" That is quite convicting. Saul, of course, he had a knowledge about God, but here we have Saul with a new encounter, a very real, up close and personal encounter with Jesus. And this encounter was confrontational because God questions him, "Why are you fighting against me, Saul?" And Saul was so rocked by this, spiritually and literally. So he asked, What do I do?" And that question was the right question, because he could have asked the wrong question, "What have I done?" He could have asked that question, but instead he asked, "What do I do?" Let's read Acts chapter 9, verses 8 to 19. And it says, "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And when he was there 3 days without sight, he neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said, Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who are called in your name. But the Lord said, Go, for he is my chosen vessel, mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And this is where it gets interesting. I love this. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Wow. Incredible transformation. I love the story of Ananias. What an incredible character and an individual that we do not know too much about, and it seems like he is an insignificant character in Scripture, yet he was the one that was obedient to the voice of God. Can you imagine what Ananias was feeling and thinking when God said, There is a man named Saul of Tarsus who I want you to go and pray for? That name had a lot of bad reputation behind it. He was scared. He even questioned God. Isn't this the guy that's killing all of our brothers and sisters in Jerusalem? I don't know about this, God. But despite this, Ananias, though his concerns were, I would say, legitimate, he was obedient to the voice of God. And I thank God for those Ananias people in our lives that even when we were so undeserving of God's grace and his word, because of someone like Ananias who was obedient, was able to witness and share the goodness of God to us, hallelujah, and was obedient. Thank God that despite his reputation, Ananias stepped out in faith and was obedient to the voice, and he ministered. And in fact, the disciples of Jesus were even skeptics of Saul's conversion, but not Ananias. He was the one that was able to minister to him, and this was one of the most powerful preachers in the New Testament that we read about in our Bibles. But another key part we must focus on is this in verse 19, that he spent some days with the disciples. His conversion wasn't just a one-day experience. In Galatians 1, verses 15 to 24, if you want to turn there with me, in Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to go from verse 15 to 24. Galatians 1, verses 15 to 24. And it reads this. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And this is where he talks about his conversion. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned back to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. After I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by the face to the church of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only. And it says, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. They were quite shocked that Saul was preaching to them. But we read here that it was, again, not just a once-off experience. We read in this scripture in Galatians chapter 1 that it says days. It mentions days. It mentions years. And so there was this process. His old ways of doing kingdom work was not going to work with the kingdom of Jesus. Paul needed help from those who knew Jesus and the gospel message. He needed instruction from those who were close to him. He needed direction. He needed discipleship. Paul didn't go to just some big known church, but it says that Paul actually settled back into the church of Damascus, where he was born again, to learn all that he could. 3 years later, this is 3 years from that experience in Ananias' house, Paul now finally has an understanding of his purpose and an understanding of his calling in God. And it is now that he knows what he wants, Jesus wants him to do. And so after this meeting with Peter and James, more than 3 years after this conversion, he begins to preach Jesus. And his message was simply this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified." What a sermon title. And in fact, that was his message wherever he went. I don't want to know anything among you. Yes, I am a religious. Judaism is my background. I've learned everything that there is to learn. But the one thing I want to know above all is Jesus and him crucified. And we can learn a lot from Paul in our walk with God. And that is this, that it takes time to start over. It's not just a once-off event. Just like getting new habits in your life, it's a daily routine of discipline. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes adjusting our knowledge and past experiences to the new ways of living in Christ Jesus. And so let's break that down into some practical steps. How does this actually apply to my life today? Well, number one is this. If you want to write this down, we must live out the change. We must live out the change. Being born again according to Acts 2:38, repenting, being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with his spirit is great, but that's just the beginning. Discipleship is an everyday thing, not just a Sunday thing. Just as we try to get healthy habits, living a new life in Christ requires us to live out a walk daily. We must obey the scriptures. We must read the word of God. We must pray. We must fast. We must be involved in the things of God. We must flee temptation. We must live a life of praise and worship. All of these things. And some of those are just things that we pick up naturally. Some of those things we can easily implement in our life. But others, we need to be more intentional. Like fleeing temptation. What are the barriers that you need to put in your life? Your temptations might be different to someone else. What are your weaknesses? We need to be intentional. Are you fasting? Are you worshiping daily? Those are the types of things that we need to be intentional about. And so number one, we must live out that change. Number two is to get rooted. How deep are your roots? The Bible talks a lot about trees and roots as metaphor for scripture, one of which is Colossians 2 verse 7, having your roots planted deep in Christ. not just on the surface of the soil, but it says deep in Christ. Why? Because it allows us to grow in Him and get your strength from Him. The strongest trees that you will see on this earth have deep roots. And so, church, we must get planted not in the things of this world, but we must be planted in the Word of God. We must be planted in prayer, in devotion, in fasting, in getting involved with our local church, in serving, in giving. All of these things that we must be planted in. How far are your roots? If you're struggling today, you must ask that question. Where are your roots planted? Are they still planted in the old habits of life, or are they planted in the things of God? Amen. And lastly, number three, we must get guidance. We can't do this life alone. We must get guidance. And we thank God for His Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, "For you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me." Amen. The Holy Spirit is powerful. We cannot live this life without the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is the source of truth. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts us from things such as dangers or things that might be in error. I remember once just driving on the road in the back of Canberra late at night around 8:30, and I felt the Spirit prompt me, and it said, "Just slow your car down just 15 kilometers." And I thought, well, that's a really odd thing to do, but okay, that was very specific. And I slowed my car down, and sure enough, in 1 minute's time, a humongous kangaroo bounced across the road. Whereas if I hadn't been obedient to the prompting of the Spirit, more than likely would have had a written off car. And so the Holy Spirit is important for us. It brings out the truth of God. It becomes real. It directs us. And in Acts 6, the church recognized a need to get engaged with others in the work of the ministry. They didn't just pick anyone in the church. They picked someone of good report and full of the Holy Spirit. And so we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was so much work in the church happening. There was not enough workers, but they said, you know what, we got to find some people that are of good report, good character, but also filled with His Spirit. An important requirement of those called to help was for them to be filled with the Spirit. And that was not the only requirement. That reputation needed to be there with that. There is only one way to gain a good reputation, and that is by doing good things. And there are only two ways to get wisdom: by making a bunch of mistakes, or by learning from someone who is wise. And for those who are a bit like me, I tend to learn the hard way through my mistakes and errors. But we must learn from that and push forward, going further into Christ. Get yourself up. If you've fallen down and you make the snakes, you will make mistakes, but get back up. Press towards the mark of the high calling is what Paul said. And clearly, the best way to learn the things of God is to spend time with Him. And remember this, it is a daily walk with God. In our new life in Christ, everything is for His glory. We must walk a step at a time, moving forward in the things of God. Old things, the scripture for this season, has passed away. Behold, all things are made new. That made new is becoming new. We are becoming new. We're all on different stages in this walk with God, but we are aiming to become more and more like Jesus. And just like the story of Saul, it took time. Saul didn't just instantly become from Damascus persecutor to church preacher. There was a time and a process. And so that is the word for tonight. And I'm so thankful for this series because God is going to do a work in your life. And God has so many plans for you. And I just wonder if you would join me right now as we pray to close off this lesson. Lord, we are so thankful. God, we're thankful for your word that has found us, Lord, on that road where we were once lost in our own ways. But Lord God, your light shined in a dark place and you spoke to us and you called us out, Jesus, into this marvelous light. So God, I just pray for those who are joining us tonight, Jesus, that you would speak to them and give them a boldness, Lord, to pursue the things of God. Lord, let our Christian lives be rooted and founded in the Word of God and the things of prayer, fasting, personal involvement in the kingdom, Lord. And we just pray, Lord Jesus, as we live out this life, that you would speak to us in a real way, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, but not just fill us to overflowing, Lord, that we can reach the lost and dying world that we live in today, Jesus. We just pray that you will be with us, be with those who are joining us tonight, Lord, and bless them in their homes. We pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We pray that you have a blessed night. Until we meet again online, God bless.